were your ideas and plans then for what you were going to do when the war was going to be over? Here he was coming home. Life was going to return to normal.
First thing he said to me, I had my pay had increased to $1.25 an hour by that time. I was supposed to be a full-fledged mechanic. He says, I'll tell you, honey, why don't you stay working at Lockheed for your wages? I have to go back to the railroad, and my wages would be less than that. You'd be making more. I says, no way. So I didn't. We were very, very content. I was content to be home. And then, you know, the government sold at auction some of their boats and their landing craft and things. So my husband, we went down and looked at them down in San Pedro, and my husband put a bid on one of the landing crafts and got it. We had it brought up to our backyard. We didn't have our big garage back there. And for almost 2 years, we worked together on that boat and made a charter boat out of it.
Oh.
All the time he was still working 5 days a week at the railroad. Mm-hmm. And his buddies would come out and help him work on it. And we cut the square bow off and put a keel out and a pointed bow on it and made a 42-foot boat.
And what was your plan to go into business?
Fishing, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, as a recreation and to carry charter parties and then would help pay for the boat. He always wanted a boat. Mm-hmm. So about 22 months or something, mm-hmm. we finally put it in the water, and we carried charters in for during weekends, and then he'd take a month off maybe in the summertime, and we'd carry charters. I think it was about 3 years we did that, three mm-hmm. or 4 years.
Now, when you were working on the boat during the week, would you work on it by yourself, or only on the weekends when he was here you'd work on it?
Evenings and weekends, uh-huh. I'd work with him. Sometimes I'd get out there and scrape paint and stuff. Mm-hmm.
Well, how would you spend your time here after you've gotten that all those hours and that complicated life during the war years, and now you came back home and you didn't want to work? How would you spend your days? What was your life like after coming back home after working?
How was my life like? I kept house. I cooked the meals. We repainted the inside of the house together. My husband and I have always done things together. And I'd get him off to work in the morning, get my son off to school. After 2 or 3 years, I was a little bit fed up with staying home, and I did work one Christmas, over Christmas rush, at Penny's department store as a cashier. Mm-hmm. And my husband had a fit. He never has wanted me to work.
Oh, although he had said to you, why don't you keep working?
No, he'd said to me, go to work and help pay the house off so I can enlist. He didn't, he was just kidding me. Oh. He was just kidding me about that. He didn't mean it.
Oh.
No, he never wanted me to work. And he made such a fuss about it that I said, okay. Mm-hmm. I could have kept on working at Penny's, mm-hmm. but he didn't want me to.
Why did he view that as being different than you're going to work to help pay the house off, do you think?
Because he wanted to join up. I asked him why he wanted to join up. He said, because I don't want to have to learn to speak Japanese. Mm. And he figured that he couldn't maybe keep payments on the house with the money he'd make in the service, mm-hmm. and just felt that we needed help, financial help, and the jobs were there. They were hiring. Oh, we knew they were hiring like mad up there, even before he joined. So it wasn't a matter of going out and trying to find a job. I knew the job would be there.
So in that case, it was more a matter of that.
Putting the war together.
Right. And yeah. Whereas when you went to work at Penny's...
That was something different. Mm-hmm. That was... he wasn't the man of the house, shall I say, mm-hmm. or maybe I was taking on myself more than he thought I should. Mm-hmm. He always wanted... He said, when I get home from work, I want my cup of coffee ready. Mm-hmm. And if I was working, I wouldn't have it for him. Mm-hmm. And that's the way it's been. I'm a housewife.
Now, how did, you talked before about during the war, the neighbor women becoming much closer. What happened after the war?
Oh, they were still friends. Mm-hmm. Some of them moved away. Now the people across the street moved away. The day that Frank was discharged from the Navy, they moved up north because he had a job up there. Mm-hmm. He didn't have any more job at Lockheed. Mm-hmm. And found work up there. He was some kind of an engineer, you know, books and stuff mm-hmm. like that. He was more of that kind. And so they sold and moved up there. They moved away. The people next door, they needed a bigger house. They had two children by that time. So they sold and moved mm-hmm. away. And little by little, these three houses over here were built and people moved mm-hmm. into them. And the neighborhood gradually changed mm-hmm. because people changed. Mm-hmm. The people on this side moved away and got a bigger house because she was having one baby after another, you know. And so we are still friends with mm-hmm. most of them.
But it wasn't the same as that closeness among the war.
No, it wasn't. Mm-hmm. No, not quite.
Did you become involved after you came back home after the war in organizations or activity outside the hospital?
Not until 1962. Mm-hmm. We joined the Law Order Moose. Mm-hmm. And I've been active in that ever since. That's be 19 years mm-hmm. that I've been in that.
Now, when you were working on the boat, and we're going to go into the charter business, what role did you play in when you were doing the chartering?
I was a deckhand. We both went to school to learn navigation. It was put on by the Coast Guard Auxiliary. Mm-hmm. But the Coast Guard themselves would not accept that. I did pass, not very well, but I passed. So then Frank had to go down and take a test through the Coast Guard to get his pilot's licenses, mm-hmm. navigational license. But I didn't do that. But I could read a chart and I could read a compass. Not as good as he could, mm-hmm. but I could do it. But I was a deckhand. I sat up there and I passed out the bait. And if the customers didn't know how to hook their bait on, mm-hmm. I'd show them. And some of our charters were friends, you know, mm-hmm. from the railroad. The guys that helped him build the boat, we'd take them out. Mm. And it was a fun thing, but it got very, very tiresome. Mm. Tiring, put mm-hmm. it that way. Because we'd go down Friday night, I'd pick him up at work, we'd go down to the harbor.
Where was it?
It was in Wilmington. Mm-hmm. And we'd get the boat ready, clean it up, get it ready, and go to bed, and we'd have to get up and have, our charter party would be there at 2 o'clock on Saturday morning. We'd have to be ready to go. We'd take them out and fish, and we'd be back maybe by 4 or so in the afternoon, Saturday afternoon. And the boat would be a mess with 12 people. Uh-huh. And we'd have to clean up the boat, get some dinner, and we'd maybe get to bed by 9:30 or 10 or later, up and ready to go again on Sunday morning. Got too much for me, mm-hmm. because by that time I was entering the menopause, mm-hmm. actually. And I had to go to the doctor for some help. Mm-hmm. I was playing myself out. Mm-hmm. And my emotions were getting the best of me. And that was one reason we sold it. But we weren't without a boat very long. Then we got a little commercial boat. And that was really fun. We'd spend the whole month of July out in the ocean.
Oh.
He'd take leave of absence from the railroad. Mm-hmm. And we'd load this thing up with fuel and ice. And there's the replica of the little second boat we had. He built,
oh.
Frank made that.
Just the two of you would go out?
There's only room for two on that. It was only 29 feet long. See, that's 29 inches. This was made 1 inch to the foot.
Uh-huh.
And that's he made that from pictures.
Oh,
and we really had fun in that thing. And we made money enough to keep the boats. You know, it costs to keep a boat.
Yeah.
In fact, we bought our first TV with profits made on that boat.
Now, you would make profits on that boat by taking people out?
No, selling albacore.
We fished
for albacore, and we sold to the canneries.
And just the two of you could catch enough?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. we had outriggers and lines back, you see, with lures on them. When you find a school of fish, you can pull in a ton in a couple hours if you have that many fish to come in.
Well, that sounds like a lot of hard work.
It was. It was, but it was fun.
And how long did you keep that up then?
We had that boat, how long did we have that boat? 52? About 7 years, mm-hmm. I guess. 6-7 years. Mm-hmm. And then a man came along and wound up for a pleasure boat. Mm-hmm. So Frank sold it to him.
And that was your last boat, or did you
No. Then we got a boat that was a 10-ton hold. And we had a lot of work to do on that one. But we never made any money on it, because by that time, albacore were not coming in close. And he couldn't get that much time off of the railroad. They'd kind of found out what he was doing. And so he didn't have that much time off, and we couldn't get out to where the fish were to get them. Mm-hmm. And so we sold it. Mm. And that was the last
one. That was the last boat. Mm-hmm. And then right around then, you became more and more involved in the moose, it sounds like.
Yeah, well, we sold that boat in 1960. And we bought ourselves a little highway cruiser, and we went camping and fishing. My husband is, as you can see, a fisherman from the time he was a baby. Mm. And so we took trips in 1960, and again in 61, we took a trip up to British Columbia and fished and had a good time in this cruiser. Mm-hmm. And then We went in that for about 4 years, just a little camper thing. Mm-hmm. Then one year I got the flu. It was raining on us, and I got the flu, and he had to come home before he caught as much fish as he wanted to. So his folks had a trailer, and they said, well, borrow our trailer. So he took the trailer, and by that time we were fishing salmon and steelhead. And that's our recreation right now. Mm-hmm. Every fall we go up to Northern California to the Klamath River, and we fish for steelhead and salmon. Mm-hmm. We take our own canner and we can the fish, and he made a smoker and we smoke the fish, and we usually stay out about a month.
Mm-hmm. Now, when did he retire?
He retired in 1972.
Uh-huh. Now, since his retirement, then how do you spend your time when you're not fishing?
Oh, dear. He gets in my way, I get in his way. He's been, a year ago, 1st of February, he's diagnosed as cancer of the lung. Okay. So he hasn't been too well. Mm. But we still go. Mm-hmm. Now, in the summer of 78, well, let's see, in 1977, I'll tell you how we spent a lot of our time, taking care of his mother. She was widow. His dad died in 67, and his mother lived until 77. Mm. And she was 90 years old when she died, and she lived alone in her own house in Glendale. Mm. And when she got so bad that she couldn't live alone, we had to find somebody to live with her. Mm. But we were called over there at least once a week. We were there once a week, and sometimes called in between times when she'd fall or have a little stroke. And that kept us pretty busy for, from the time he retired until she died. Mm. In between times.
How about your son? What did he do after he graduated from high school?
He worked for a man that installed furnaces like those in houses for a while. Then he went to work for the railroad with his dad as an apprentice electrician for a while. And he married, and his first little wife died within 5 months. Then he married again, and he was still with the railroad. And he had a son, and about that time he took an examination for the Bureau of Power and Light for L.A. City. Mm-hmm. And his wife kind of pushed him into it because that's where her dad worked. So he took that exam and got, in the meantime, before he married the first girl, he was in the Korean conflict. Mm-hmm. He was there for 2 years. But anyway, then when after his son was born, he took the examination for the Bureau and passed it and went to work for the Bureau of Power and Light. And then they separated. Then they went back together again. Then they separated. Then he gave up his job at the Bureau and went into working for a fellow that had car washes and things like that. He had promise of big things to come. The man was a crook. So he got out of it. He did get all his money out of it, and he went back to work for the Bureau again. And then he and the second wife divorced finally. And now he's married. He married a girl with 6 children.
Oh, dear.
Then shortly after he married the girl with 6 children, the wife that he divorced died. And then he had to take his son in with these 6 children. It didn't work. Didn't work at all because he was an oddball. So eventually he had him for, I guess, close to 3 years, and it just wasn't working at all. So we took the boy.
Oh.
And we had the boy here from June of 1969 until April of 73.
How old was he then?
He came to us when he was 13, and when he got to be 18, he decided he didn't need to go to school anymore. So we said, okay, out on your own then. If you can't do what is supposed to be done, if you can't follow our rules. We were getting Social Security from his mother's death as long as he went to school, even after he was 18. But he just quit, so we said, okay. Then you just have to shuffle for your own self. Now that boy, oh, heartaches from that kid. But now he's married to a beautiful little girl, and they've got 2 of the cutest little babies you ever saw in your life.
Yes, so you have 2 great grandchildren. Now, is this the grandson who works out at Lockheed?
Yes, that's the one. That's the newest one, March of 13th. So that's Frank holding him there. And now this is the oldest. This is Christopher. He's 19 months now. He's older than this, see. And this my mother and dad. This is my brother and his wife. This is my son and the, my son and the girl that had 6 children. They had this boy, Michael. He's 11.
Oh, so you have 2 grandsons.
I have 2 grandsons. Two grandsons. And, of course, these are step great-grandchildren here. This is my niece's girl. But that grandson that we worried so much about, this is him and his wife when they were married. Of course, I didn't think it's going to amount to anything, but he did. He's doing just fine. I'm so happy.
Did you ever think... In all the years after that time that you went to Penny's, that you wanted to work again?
No.
Or was that it?
That was it. That was the end of it.
Tell me, what do you think in terms of the kinds of changes for women today? If you were a young woman today, what would you do with your life, do you think?
I am very happy being a housewife. I am. And charity work, I like that. To a degree, if they don't impose on me. But I've often wished that I had had the opportunity to go into nursing, go on with nursing. And if I wasn't so old now, I might volunteer as a helper or something. But my husband has never, ever wanted me to work outside the home. So I've kept myself busy. I sew, I knit, I crochet, and those kind of things. And I like to read now better than I did when I was a kid. I don't get much chance though when he's around, though. He wants to talk.
Did
you want to drink water or anything?
Maybe I should. You were saying that. I was asking if there's anything you would do differently, and you were saying that if you could have, you would probably
If at the time I graduated from high school, I could have gone into it, I probably would have. the niece, the mother to this little girl here.
Mm-hmm.
That's, the girl is adopted, but the niece is a graduate nurse in Portland, Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always so proud of her because she went into that.
Mm-hmm.
I've always looked at that as a profession that I would have had.
Do you know where you got that idea about going into
Yes,
medicine?
My oldest sister,
mm-hmm.
her name was Ruth. She died in the 1918 flu epidemic.
Oh.
She was a student nurse in Sacred Heart Hospital in Spokane, Washington, when
mm-hmm.
she died in 1918.
Oh.
And she was, I never knew her living at home,
mm-hmm.
but she was my idol, a distant idol,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? And I think that's what gave me the idea,
mm-hmm.
because I wanted to be like her.
Mm-hmm. I didn't ask you, did your son ever have contact with his biological father?
No, never.
Mm-hmm.
The man disappeared
mm.
off the face of the earth. Nobody knows where he is. Mm. His mother, now my son had contact with his relatives, his
mm.
Benty relatives,
mm-hmm.
his grandmother
mm-hmm.
and his aunts and so on, but never his father. Years after he'd been gone for, it was during the war that I got a letter from one of the sisters asking if I would fill out papers stating that I hadn't seen him in 7 years. Well, I'd been more than that.
Mm-hmm.
And I said certainly I would, because his mother had a little insurance policy
mm-hmm.
she wanted to cash in.
Mm-hmm.
So
they had him declared legal.
Yes,
assent.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What are some of your feelings about that you indicated that you do not want to work outside of the home and were really happy to play the role inside the home? What are your feelings about the sort of changes that are occurring in the lives of women?
Oh, you asked me that, didn't you? I feel that women that want to should be able to.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that women should have the privilege of doing what they want to do as well as men.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Not
for me.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't want to compete with men in the outside world, in the business world. I wouldn't want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that I could if I had to, but I don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that women should have the privilege of doing that and the opportunity and the wages.
Are there any ways that you think that working during the war years had any effects that carried over into your life afterwards?
Oh yes, I think so. It made me more self-sufficient, independent, emotionally,
mm.
I think.
Well, how, in what ways? Can you describe that?
It gave me the realization that I could get along on my own if I had to,
mm.
but I didn't want to.
Mm-hmm.
I always felt that if something had happened to my husband overseas, I would have been able to carry on.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
See what I mean?
Yeah. And how about in terms of some of the mechanical things that you learned? Was there any way that you continued to
do that? I loved mechanical work. I loved it. If I had had to stay on at Lockheed, I think I would have stayed on in the mechanical end of it.
Mm.
I really do.
Are there things that you did, for instance, on the boats or in activities around the house where you used some of those skills?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. All the time.
And how about in terms of the blueprint reading?
No,
did that
no.
carry over in terms of
no.
the work on the boats?
No, uh-uh. No, my husband had a friend that drew some plans, just some raw
mm-hmm.
plans, but they weren't blueprints or anything. They were just ideas,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he helped him with the framing out of the
mm-hmm.
bow and so
mm-hmm.
on. But no, the rest of it was all his idea and his measuring, and we carried on through that way. Oh yes, I hammered and I screwed and I caulked the boat. You know, and you have to put caulking in the seams
mm-hmm.
on the bottom. I did all that with him. Helped paint. The whole thing.
Because you said before you went to work at Lockheed and started, you didn't have any idea that you were mechanical.
Well, not really, not in those terms, but I was always handy with a hammer and a screwdriver. And that that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I never thought I'd ever earn my living at it or anything. I wouldn't want to be a carpenter for a living.
Is there anything else that you think that you'd like to talk about or add that we didn't cover?
It'd be nice if you'd ask me some questions that maybe I've left something out. In terms of my family, my own personal family, or what?
Or in terms of the way in which the war years affected you, or working affected you, or to get a... I have a sense that I have a fairly complete picture, but I want to make sure that
there's nothing that we've left out
that you would like to add.
I don't think so. She's taking a history of my life.
Oh, that's interesting.